Okay, today's daf is Mem. We're going to do, it's Mem Dalet. We're going to do Mem Gimel Amud Bet. Start from the top there and hopefully catch up. Today's shiur is in memory of Barbara Baran. Baran. Bracha ba Baruch Ufreda Zal. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kol hazovech et yitzro mitvade alav, ma'ale alav hakatuv ki'ilu kibdo lakadosh baruch hu b'shnei olamim. So first of all, where is this coming in? Yechabdineni, we said, was, we explained Zovech Toda Yechabdineni was the pasuk we used in the last section for one of the Talmidim of Yeshu HaNotzri. And now we're going to darshan that pasuk in a different way. What's interesting about it is it connects because of the pasuk, but it's really going to connect to the next Mishnah, which we're going to read in a minute. So now they're explaining Todah. We're going to see the word Todah could be used also Milashon Vidoy as confession. And a bunch of things we're going to talk about are related to Elul, which is nice. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, anyone who slaughters his Yetzer and then basically gets rid of his evil inclination and then admits what he confesses his sins, it's as if he was Mechabed Hashem both in Olam Azeh and in Olam Abba. Why? Because of the double Lashon of Yechabdineni. Okay, they will, someone who's zoveach todah, which means zoveach, he'll sacrifice his, right, he'll slaughter his yetzer, and todah yitvadeh, then yechabdineni will be respectful of God, both in two ways, the yineni is in two ways, both in olam hazeh and in olam haba. Ve'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam, adam makriv ola, schar ola biyado. This is just the beginning. When he says, when the Beit HaMikdash is Kayam, if you bring a Korban Olah, so you get the reward for Korban Olah. Mincha, Schar Mincha B'yado. You bring a Mincha, you get also the Schar of the Mincha. Aval Mishada Toshvala. But one who makes his dat very low, meaning he admits to his sins, right? That's one of the hardest things to do is to say, oh, I did something bad and admit to your sins. That's really, you know, it's the opposite of arrogance, basically. That's what Shafel is. Ma'ala alav ha-katuv ki'ilu hikriv kol ha-korbanot kulan. Okay, that's, in other words, it's one thing to bring a korban, a mincha, but if you really sacrifice, if you confess your sins, that is the highest. It says, if you brought all the sacrifices, Shenemar, Zivchei Elohim Ruach Nishpara. Okay, that the Zivchei Elohim are a broken spirit. And if you break down your spirit, you know, and say, oh, look how, what terrible things I did, that's the Zivchei Elohim. It says, if you did, and the plural of Zivchei, it says, if you sacrificed many, many korbanot, V'lod Ela She'ein Tfilatonim Eset. And also, God will accept your tefillot, Shenemar, Lev Nishbar V'nitke, Elohim lo tivzeh. Someone who really breaks down his heart and is, you know, feels, puts himself in a very low place, Elohim lo tivzeh. Just close, if you can close both, even better. Elohim lo tivzeh, that means God won't belittle him at all. He'll take seriously what he says and will accept his prayer. So a nice Elul concept here about the importance of confession, and also explaining that the root of confession is really bringing yourself to a very low place and understanding, you know, being willing, it will really, I would say, more so the exact opposite of arrogance, and saying, I'm not as great as I think I am. And that theme comes up all the time in the tefillot, particularly, you know, the most recent ones we're going to get to are the slichot, where it's all about, you know, Adam is Efes and nothing, and that's what brings the ability to confess. Which is really, like I said, it came because of the pasuk, Zovech Todah Yechabdineni, but clearly this is a lead into the next Mishnah, and maybe we'll come back and even connect some other concept to something we saw at the end of yesterday's shiur. So the next Mishnah says, remember, we're in the process of him getting to the Beit HaSkila. Haya rachok mi Beit HaSkila ke'eser amot. So now he comes within 10 amot of the place where they're going to stone him. Omrim lo hitvadeh. Okay, here you see the clear connection. They say, confess. Kein derach kol ha-mumatin mitvadim. Everyone who's put to death is supposed to confess. Shekol ha-mitvadeh yesh lo chelak lo'olam haba. Everyone who confesses their sins in the end, so yes, you're going to get killed right now in Olam Hazeh, but that will open the doors for you for Olam Haba. So if as you're about to get killed, you realize you decide to confess your sins, so you will get a chelek l'olam haba. How do we know this? Shekem atzinu ba'achan. Okay, if you recall the story of Achan, he was the one in the battle of Jericho. He took from the shalal. What happened was, I'll give you basic details of the story because we're going to get into a lot of details about Achan today. It's a lot of agadatot. Yoshua told them not to take from the shalal from all the spoils of the war against Jericho, and Achan went and took. Nobody knew this, or maybe someone did know, we'll see. But it appeared at the surface that nobody knew it. And then they went into their next battle, the Battle of the Ai, and 36 people were killed, which was a huge devastation. And Yoshua comes to God with a note, which we're going to see today, and he says, why did you do this to us, and why did you cross us over the Jordan if you were just going to kill us or the other nations? And God says, Chata Yisrael, and then they don't know who sinned, who it was, they do a goral, they have this lottery type thing where it comes out on Achan, and then Yoshua comes to him and says, admit to your sins, and he admits to his sin. And then he gets punished, and we'll see, God says everything should be burned, and then it comes to the time, and he actually... they bring him and all of his rechush and his children, and then all the Jews are standing by watching. I'm kind of referencing all the important psukim that we're going to darshan soon. And then he gets stoned, okay, which is, that's why they bring him up in the skila context, and everything else gets burned. Like anything, we'll see, things get burned, and you know, a whole spectacle is made. So first of all, there's a bunch of concepts going on here. Kol Yisrael Arivim Zeh Bazeh. Why did 36 people get killed when it was Achan's issue? And then this, you know, part of the issue is going to be, well, Achan did it secretly, so how could anyone have known? And are people responsible, Kol Yisrael Arivim Zeh Bazeh, even when someone does something in secret? We're going to talk about that concept. It's going to reference a whole bunch of different concepts that are important here. At this point, we basically see that in the end, he admitted to his sin. And that's the important part here, that he did vidoy. He said what he did wrong. So then, where are we here? Okay. So here we're going to see about Achan. Shekem atzinu ba'achan. She'amar lo Yoshua, b'ni, sim na kavod la'ashem elokei Yisrael, v'tein lo toda. That's what Yoshua says to him. Okay, be respectful of God and give him, it doesn't mean thanks here, it means vidoy, okay, admit before him. And then immediately, vayan achan et Yoshua vayomar, omna anochi chatati v'chazot v'chazot asiti. Okay, that's the pasuk. So that's what we see by Achan. Now, that tells you that he confessed. It doesn't tell you that he was forgiven. That was what we were trying to say. Uminayin shekipir lo viduyo. How do we know that he actually received atonement for this? Shenemar vayomar Yoshua. Ma, this is at the end of the section. Ma, right before it, right as he's getting killed. Ma chartanu yarkecha Hashem b'yom hazeh. Says, what was this, all this trouble you caused? Because of that, yarkecha Hashem. He uses the same, right? You caused trouble, now God's going to trouble you b'yom hazeh. What do they obviously darshan? B'yom hazeh, ata achor, but iata achor l'olam haba. Right? It doesn't say God was yarkecha Hashem forever, but on this day. Okay, therefore, you're receiving your punishment now in Olam Hazeh, but you will be atoned for Olam Haba. Now, we're finished with Achan now, although we're going to get right back to him in the Gemara, but right now, the guy is about to get Skila, and he confesses, they ask him to confess to his sins. If he doesn't know how to, now some people say, what is it, or the base explanation here is, he doesn't know exactly what he did wrong, okay, or for that matter, anyone who doesn't know exactly what sins they did wrong, what should they do? Okay, he should say, my death should be an atonement for all of my sins. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im haya yodea shehu mezumam, what if this guy knows that what he was convicted of, he really wasn't guilty? Mizumam ilashon ed zomein, that someone testified falsely against him, and he wasn't really guilty. So how can he possibly say, right? It's a little tricky here, but I'll raise the problem in a minute. But right now, the assumption is that he can't say Temi Titi Kaparal Kol Avonotai. It'll be dishonest because it'll sound like he's saying, including the one I'm about, right? In other, I'm confessing to what I actually did. The assumption is anyway, he's supposed to be confessing to the sin he did for which he's getting killed. So this person can't say that because he actually didn't do it. So what should he say according to Rabbi Yehuda? Omer Temi Titi Kaparal Kol Avonotai Chutz Me'avon Zeh. Okay, except for this particular one. Now, what's the problem here? The problem is if he's saying al kol avonotai, exactly. That's the problem. What? If it's not his avon, then it's. So what if people think it is? When he says, "I want my mitah to be kapara on whatever sins I did," it should not include the one that he didn't really do. However, since this is, I think, because this is coming in place of a person who really should say, "I admit that I slept with this nara murasa," for example. That's one people who get skila. So, since it's supposed to be in place of this sin, it's obvious that included in that, now again, it's maybe what's perceived to everybody around. And that's what's bothering Rabbi Yehuda also. Okay, it's also what's going to bother the next person, we'll see in a minute, the one who disagrees with him, but that it appears to everybody as if he's confessing to that sin. He's just not specifically saying this is the exact sin. So anyway, it's a little tricky, this concept here, because why should he even need to say that if it wouldn't be included anyway? But Chachamim disagree in this. Say Amrulo, im ken, there's a separate problem with somebody saying this. Yuhu kol adam omer ken, kedei lenakot atzmo. Everybody is being put to kill whether they're guilty or not guilty. They want to make it look like they didn't do it. So everyone will start saying this nusach, and then everybody will say, oh, really, he's not guilty? Maybe we should, you know, open the case again. So basically, or just at least he wants to save himself from further humiliation. He knows he's going to get killed, but he'd rather just say, oh, I didn't really do this. Even though he really did. So therefore, we forget about this nusach because it's not going to work because everyone's going to start saying it because it'll make them look much better. And therefore, let's just keep with the same basic nusach. And like we said, anyway, it's not really a problem because it's not his avon anyway if he didn't really do it. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Na, okay, go back. Where's the na? If you remember in the pasuk we quoted by Achan, it said, Yehoshua said to him, Bini, sim na kavod l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Okay, na, please. Okay. Eina ela lashon bakasha. Na is please. Okay, in other words, a request. So now we have to understand why Yehoshua is speaking, requesting from him this confession. B'sha'asha amar kadosh, we're going to get some, I would say, quote-unquote, history of what exactly transpired in the story, according to the Chachamim. B'sha'a shamar kadosh baruch hu li Yehoshua chata Yisrael. That's what Hashem said to him when Yehoshua came and said, what's going on here? Why did we lose this battle? He said, because chata Yisrael. Amar lefanav, ribono shel olam, mi chata? So he says, God, so tell me, who's the one who sinned? Amar le, v'chi dilatorani, what, you think I'm a malshin? You think I'm going to tattletale and say so? Lechapil goralot, okay, go do a goral, and the goral will tell you. Now, it's weird, because isn't the goral God's way of revealing? So, right, it's a good question, but what the difference is, okay, we'll raise it as a question. Halach vihipil goralot. So, Yeshua did a goral. V'nafal ha-goral al achan. Okay, I guess also it's just a simpler method, right? If God would just tell him, then he'd know, as opposed to having to go through a whole process of goralot.
It's more public. Mm-hmm.
It's more public also.
It's also the key to do something
themselves. Yeah.
What?
No, it's just an old saying.
There's some active, yeah, what did you say? I didn't hear.
You have to have an active part in it.
Right, you have to have an active part in it. He didn't want it to be so simple, and you have to go through a process. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. Okay, Nafala Goral Alachan. Amralo Yoshua Bagoral Ataba Alai. Ataba Alai. Atava Elazar Kohen, Shneg Dole Ador. No, sorry. Bagoral. Bagorala taba, no, but at some point, Amarlo, sorry, and I read it wrong. It's not Amarlo Yehoshua. It's Amarlo Achan. Achan says to him, okay, so in other words, Nafal Gorala Achan. That's the end of Yehoshua's doing. Now comes Achan and he says, Yehoshua, Bagorala taba alai, you're coming to me with a goral? That's not a good way to prove my guilt, right? We can all imagine this. What, you pick out of a hat? You know, what kind of a goral is this? Let's say, for example, he says, Atava Elazar Kohen, Shneg Dole Adoratem. Okay, you and Elazar Kohen, you're the two biggest important people in this generation. What if I put your two names in a hat? Right? It'll come out on someone. And what he was trying to say is maybe no one's guilty. And yes, you put all the Jewish people in this, but maybe it wasn't one of them. How do you know? In other words, it's got to come out on someone's name, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're the guilty ones. So, Amarlo, bevakasha mimcha. So now, here comes the bakasha. Why did Yehoshua have to beg him? He says, please, al totzi is very interesting. Okay, this connects with the Masechet in general. We'll talk about it in a minute. Al totzi laz al agoralot. Don't start bad mouthing, right? I don't want any bad press here. Okay, this is right, exactly, very relevant nowadays. Don't start bad mouthing the goralot. Why? Sha'atidai eretz Yisrael shetitchalep agoral. Shenemar ach bach goral yichalek at haaretz. Tain todah. Okay, so he says, don't start. If you start bad-mouthing the goral, how on earth am I going to divide up the land? That's how the land is going to be divided up. And if you start to mess up my system, right, you can see where this is going in terms of the Masechet, right? The Sanhedrin is the base, right, the court. We constantly were struggling with how do we maintain respect to the court when the court makes a mistake, when something goes wrong. We have to have a system and we have to have respect for the system. If we don't, the whole system's going to fail. So likewise, that's what Yehoshua is telling him. I need the goral. Don't start bad-mouthing it. So, tain todah. So please just confess, okay? Confess and make my life easier. I'm a Ravina. So Ravina says it was more than that. Shichude shachte b'mile. He bribed him with words. How so? Or almost like tricked him. Klum nivakesh bimcha ela hoda'a. Tain lo todah v'hi patir. What did he say? When he said tain todah, he said just confess. Now, sometimes when someone confesses what happens, they become exempt. So just confess, and then you'll be exempt. Okay? That's what Yehoshua kind of tricked him into believing. So that's why, if you notice, the pasuk says, Miyad vayanachan et Yehoshua vayomer. Right? Why did he immediately confess? Because he was bribed into it, thinking that if he confessed, he'd be exempt from punishment. So therefore, Vayan Yoshua, Vayan Achanik Yoshua, Vayomar, Amna Anochi Chatati Lashem Lokei Israel, Vechazot Vechazot Asiti. Now, why would he think that he would be free if he confessed? So first of all, the Rambam talks about in this Perush HaMishnah that Achan's punishment was against the law, basically, or outside of the law. Because according to the law, based on someone's confession and based on a goral, you can't convict someone and kill them. You need witnesses. You need a lot more. You need hatra'ah. So he was killed in a, what do you call it, extra legal way? In other words, outside of the system. And because of that, Achan really believed that if he admitted, he really wouldn't be killed. Okay? But this was a hora'at sha'ah, and God needed to make a, right? This was also by God's decree that he was killed, as opposed to normally where it's done through a legal system. Okay. So now what happens? So he says, now we're going to darshan this pasuk. Anochi chatati. Notice the words here. I sinned to Hashem, Elokei Israel, v'chazot v'chazot asiti. So we have, he says, I sinned, and this is what I did, and this is what I did. So we're going to darshan this. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Chanina, melamed shema'al acham b'shlosha charamim, shnayim b'imei Moshe, v'acha b'imei Yoshua. All right, because he says, chatati, that's one. Chazot is another, and chazot is another. So he did three things wrong. Not only did he take them to Shalal in the time of Yeshua, he also did it in the time of Moshe. The obvious question is going to be, why wasn't he punished in the time of Moshe? We'll see. Shneamar chazot v'chazot asiti. Rabbi Yochanan amar mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, chamisha. There were actually five times. Why? Because it says, v'chazot v'chazot, the end. Okay, the Vavs add another two. Okay, and they list five wars that were on the same, right? There was Amalek, there was Amalek Harad, Sichon Og, and this one in Yericho. So, Ra'abi Me Moshe, V'chabi Me Yoshua, Shanam Namar, Anochi Chatati, V'chazot, V'chazot Asiti. V'ad Hashta, my time, Alo Iyanush. Okay, now the question is not about why Acham wasn't punished. The question is, because who was punished here, really? The Jewish people were punished. So why wasn't Israel punished in an earlier situation during the time of Moshe? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Lefi Shelo Anash Ala Nistahot Ad She'avu Yisrael Et HaYarden. According to this opinion, what's the reason? God doesn't punish Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh is only on things that people could see, right? Aveirot that were Bolet La'ayin, but after they crossed the Yarden, there was a new set of rules. Okay, now you could say that maybe what's called Israel Avirim Zebazet, they were all one nation. Maybe until they really got into the land of Israel, they weren't fully a nation, right? We say, when did they become a nation? Chodesh Hazel Lachem, right before Korban, the first Korban Pesach, right before they got out of Mitzrayim. But the formation of the nation was still not exactly solid until they crossed the Yarden. And then they really became a nation. At that point, they became responsible for each other, even for Averot Nistarot. And Acham was an Averah Nisteret. Nobody knew about it. Like I said, hold off. Maybe someone did. But right now, the first answer is, they were only punished for Nistarot. So, before they crossed the Yarden, Kol Yisrael Avim Zebazeh, only for things that are revealed. And after they crossed the Yarden, for things that are secret. So now, Kitinai, there's a machloket tanaim about this. Hanistarot l'Hashem Elokeinu v'aniglot lanu u'levanenu ad olam. Very famous pasuk. Why is it such a famous pasuk? Do you remember this? There's dots on the letters, on the words lanu u'levanenu, and on the letter ayin. Okay, there's dots across these things. I'm not going to show you the picture, but if you look in the Tanakh, you'll see there's dots on all those, like a dot on top of each one. There's a few places in the Torah where it's like this. Lama nakura lanu levanenu va'al ayin shebe'ad milamed shelo anash ala nistarot ad shavu Yisrael etayardein divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation is exactly this, that, what does the pasuk mean? Hanistarot l'Hashem Elokeinu, the secret things are for God. Right? V'haniglot, and the revealed things are lanu levanenu ad olam, for us and our children forever. So what does it mean then? That the nistarot l'Hashem until we cross the Yarden. But after we cross the Yarden, that's why it's Nakud, they become ours also, our responsibility. But Amar le Rabbi Nechemia, here's the machloket, v'chi anash ala nistarot le'olam, but are the nistarot punished forever? Halo kvar ne'emar ad olam. The pshat of the pasuk is that hanistarot la'ashem elokeinu, they belong only to God ad olam, forever. So how could we be responsible for them later on? In other words, he thinks the Kol Yisrael Avim Zebazeh is not relevant to things done in secret forever. Okay? Even after they cross the Yarden. Ela, kishem shelo anash ala nistarot, kach lo anash ala nashim shebegaloi, ad she'avru Yisrael et ha'Yarden. He comes differently. He says, they weren't responsible at all for anything until they crossed the Yarden. When they crossed the Yarden, they became responsible for the revealed sins, but never for the secret of sins. Those are ad olam. Okay? Ela achan maitai mai anush. So then, if that's the case, achan was done secretively. So how could B'nai Yisrael have been punished for achan's sin? Mishum dehavu yadu be ishta uvanav. There's a very interesting answer. His wife and his sons knew about it, and therefore, it was a revealed sin. Now, generally, we look at ishto kigufo. So why should she count, right? You wouldn't think that she would count in this area. And in fact, when it comes to Lashon Hara, this whole, the laws are based on this, about what people, we assume that once three people know something, everybody knows it, in which case you can speak about it. As long as it's not Lashon Hara, it's more rechilut, right? If someone says, you know, so-and-so's going out with someone, right? Is that rechilut to go around talking about someone dating someone else? Well, if it's public knowledge and more than three people know, then it's okay. You can talk about it because the assumption is everybody knows. So the Chavetz Chaim in Shmirat HaLashon says that relatives don't count in that count. But this Gemara shows that relatives do count because Ishto Obana for them. Chata Yisrael, what do we learn from the fact that, right, it was really Achan who sinned, not Yisrael. And not only that, but if Chata Yisrael, well, then they're bad. Why should they be called Yisrael? So Amar B'Abra Brazav, da'af al-pish Chata Yisrael hu. Okay, even though they sinned, they're still called Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Abba, Hainu Damar Inche, this is what people say. Asa dekai bene chilfe, asa shmei. If there's a hadas, a myrtle branch, among the thorns, it's still called a myrtle branch. Okay, even though it's surrounded by thorns. Okay, likewise, Jewish people, if they sin, they're still called Jewish people. Va'asa karule, right? And there asa shmei, va'asa karule, right? It's still called, hadas is its name, and it's still called that by everybody. Continuing on in the Acham Psukim, v'gam avruet briti asher tziviti otam, gam lachum en acherem, gam ganvu, gam kachashu, gam samu beklehem. This is what they did wrong. Okay, notice how many times the word gam appears in that pasuk. Right? They also went against my covenant that I commanded you. They also, right, this is what Hashem is saying, they also took from the cherem, from the stuff that they weren't allowed to. They also stole, they also denied, and they also put it in their kelim, in their vessels. Amar Rabbi Ilam, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Misparta. Okay, notice his name is Bar Misparta. It's a Right? Often we have these names that are connected to the context. Mispar, numbers. He's a guy who counted. Milamed she'avar achana chamisha chumshei Torah, she'ne'amar chamisha gam. He counted gams in this pasuk, and he said it says it five times. So because of that, it's now, sometimes people were called things because of specific shitot they had about particular things. So it could be his name, he got his name based on this drasha, or maybe he did this in other places also. I don't recall ever coming across his name before. Anyway, or it could be it's just a Rabbi Yehuda that we know who was called this just for the sake of this drasha. So what do we learn here? The Achan didn't just, right, first we saw, he didn't just take the cherem in the eye, he took the cherem also in the time of Moshe, maybe twice, maybe four times. Now we're going to learn that he also was over in all the mitzvot and all the chamisha chumshei Torah. Okay. Va'amar Rabbi Ila Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Masparta Achan Moshech Bo'orla Tohaya. He tried to cover up his orla, right? Like cancel out his brit milah. K'tiv hacha V'gam avru et briti, right? And that was where it said about Achan. U'k'tiv hatam et briti hefer, which is that they didn't do brit milah. So there we see that it must be he didn't do, right? He tried to cover up his brit milah. So they say, pshita, obviously he did. If he went against all the mitzvot in the Torah, we already know that that includes brit milah. So ma'u detema b'mitzvah gufe lo pakar kamash malan. You might have thought a mitzvah that related to his body, like the brit milah, maybe he didn't go against, but no, he did. V'chi asan v'alabi Yisrael, that's another pasuk about Achan. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda melamed sheba'al Achan na'ara murasa. Okay, from here we learn he slept with an Ara Murasa. How do we know this? Because K'tiv Hacha, by Na'ara Murasa, it says, V'chi asa nivala. Okay, that they, it's a nivala to sleep with a, it's actually also, Kiasta, why does it say, oh sorry, this is the pasuk by Achan. Kiasa nivala b'Yisrael, it said, U'chtiv hatam by Na'ara Murasa, Kiasta nivala b'Yisrael. Okay, the exact same Lashon is used, which is also used where? I think by Shechem, the word Nivala. Oh, or maybe Hachazonaya said Achdem, maybe it doesn't say Nivala there, I don't know. I have it in my head that says Nivala, but I didn't check. Okay, so anyway, if he's Bo'el Na'ara Murasa, so I say Pshita, obviously we already said he was over on Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Right? It's hard to imagine, right? He made sure to do every single Avera in the Torah, but that's, right, they're taking this on very face value.
Sometimes we have Tzimtzum of personalities. This feels like right. The opposite of Tzimtzum of all the Avera. They're all
yes,
dumping on one
exactly.
Guy.
So they say, Ma'u detema kule hai lo pakar nafshe. He didn't go that far as to sleep with the Na'ara Murasa. What's so bad about that? First of all, he's not just going against Hashem, he's going against her, and it's a pgam mishpacha. It affects our whole family. Maybe he wouldn't have gone that far. Ka mashmalan, he did.
Oh, that's interesting because his Avera of stealing also affected Am Yisrael.
Yes, it's true. It all right. It's interesting to think the similarity about it affecting other people and not just the person he was sinning against. And in the case of the Shalal, there was no person he was sinning against. In the case of the Ram Rasad, there's her, but it's really that it has broader ramifications for other people. Yafke, I like that connection.
Especially because we've spoken about Na'ara Murasa so many times and they never mentioned anything beyond her specific Avera.
No, we've talked about the Pgam Mishpacha by her, or if we haven't, then we will. We'll see it when we get to her. We're going to get to her soon. Definitely Pgam Mishpacha comes up a lot in Na'ara Murasa. Because, in fact, it's upsetting. It's we're a little bit less worried about her. We're more concerned about the pgam that it does to her family. That's part of the whole... When we get to Rodef, we're going to talk about it. Okay. Ravina Amar. Ravina has a different interpretation. What we learn from Kiyas Tandavala, B'Yisrael. Amar, Dine Kinara Murasa, Debeskila. Right? Really, what happened? Hashem said he was supposed to be burned. Okay? Hashem says in the beginning... should be burned, but in the end he gets skila, and that's because of this kiasan of Allah that he, and maybe it's the same thing, maybe this is exactly what Naomi was saying about that the there's a similarity to what he did and what the Na'ara Murasa, that there's broader ramifications beyond just the person that they sinned against or the act that they did, it has broader ramifications to other people, and because of that they get the most severe of the punishments. Amar le resh galuta le Rav Huna. K'tiv, v'yikach Yoshua et Acham ben Zarach, v'et hakesef, v'et ha'aderet, v'et lashon ha'zahav, v'et panav, v'et panotav, v'et shoro, v'et chamoro. This is at the very end of the section. This is when he's going to get killed. Takes all his stuff. V'et sono, v'et o'alo, v'et kol asher lo. Okay, all his rechush, including his children. So he asks, okay, connected to questions we had recently, im hu chata, banav u'bunotav, machat'u. Why did we bring his children? Right? What did they do wrong? Amar lei, v'litamech, im hu chata, kol Yisrael machatu, dichtiv. The end of that pasuk says, okay, so it says, they brought all these things, b'chol Yisrael imo. Now, why did they bring Kol Yisrael Imo? What, they're going to kill all of Yisrael also? No. Ela l'radotan. It was to scold them and to chastise them, to say, you know, if you do this kind of thing, like, look how serious this is. Hachanami kedei l'radotan. So according to this, now, I don't know what all the Mefreshim say, but it's, they're connecting, the children are in the middle of the whole section of all of his rechush that they brought. And all of his rechush was burned. And then it says, and all the people were there. So this interpretation says, well, all the people were there, and his sons and daughters were there. His sons and daughters weren't in the middle of all this rechush that got burned, but they actually weren't killed, and they were saved. They were only there to witness what was going to happen and to learn from that. But the pshat doesn't really seem to indicate that. The pshat really seems to indicate, because they're in the middle of this list of all the rechush that they brought there, that was in fact burned. So it's not clear from the pshat, you know, from the Torah. It doesn't say what exactly happened to the children. So this is, I would say, probably one interpretation. I don't know if it's the only interpretation. Vayisrifu otam ba'esh, vayiskilu otam ba'avanim. So it says they burn them with fire and they stone them with stones. Betarite, they got two punishments. Amaravina, haro'oi l'srefa l'srefa, haro'oi l'skila l'skila. If you were animals, right, then you would get skila. But if you were clothes, vessels, any kind of thing like that, any all the other metaltalin objects, then they got burned. Va'er b'shalal, here's his confession now. I saw in the shalal aderet shinar chat tova u'matayim shkalim kesef. And that's what he took. So now we have a machloket. I don't know what the significance of this machloket is. What aderet shinar is. Rav amar itzila demilta. It was a cloak with made out of the finest wool. U'shmol amar sarbala detzrifa. It was a garment that was dyed with a certain type of dye. Or there's a bunch of different interpretations of what srifa is. I don't know what it matters, which item it exactly was. Vayitzikum lefnei Hashem. So now something interesting happens. Yoshua, let's say, well, translated as he casts it down in front of God, okay? But yitzikum, if you know the Hebrew word lahatzik, is to annoy, okay, to, yeah. What's the word? What?
To nudge.
To nudge, okay?
To niggle.
Okay, so, right, to irritate. So, vayitzikum lefnei Hashem, what happens is, he brings the shalal to Yoshua, and Yoshua sort of throws it down in front of God. Okay, so, Amar Rav Nachman, ba v'chavtan lefnei ha-makom, he went and threw it in front of Hashem. Amar lefanav, and here comes Yoshua's attack against God. Ribono shel olam, al elu te'areg ruba shel Sanhedrin, right, what's the ruba shel Sanhedrin? Right? We saw that 36 number, right? That's the majority of the 71. Okay, one says it was actually really 36 died. Amarlo Rabbi Nechemia, the same two people who were arguing before about something, right, about whether the Nistarot, whether they're sinned by, they killed by the Nistarot or not. It didn't say exactly 36, it said like 36. It was one person who was killed, but he was worth like 36 people. Okay? Either which way, it was, right, it was a killing of the Rubash al Sanhedrin, whether it was in fact or not. So Yoshua says, for this, right, he throws the items in front. He says, for these items, this is what you're going to kill, you killed 36 people for? Or one person who's worth 36. Ya'ir ben Menashe, by the way, is mentioned in two places in the Torah as a very strong gibor. He's mentioned as one of these giborim. He wasn't the son of Menashe, he was the, I forget, great-grandson, what, some tzeetzav Menashe, but he's you know, it's considered al Menashe's name. Amrav Nachman Amarav, my dechtiv, tachanunim yidaber rash, v'ashir ya'ane azot, that a poor person will speak, poor meaning, like a humble person will speak in tachanunim, in a nice, respectful way. Vashir, and a rich, arrogant person will speak arrogantly. Tachanunim yidaber rash ze Moshe. Vashir yane azot ze Yoshua. Okay, so now they want to know, where did Yehoshua diber azot? My time. Ilem amishum diktiv vayitzikum lefnei Hashem. Right? Va'amarav nachman baba chavtan lefnei ha-makom. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the spot where Yeshua spoke to God arrogantly. Like, how dare you kill all these people for this? But Atu Pinchas lo avid hachi? Did Pinchas not do the same? Dichtiv, where does it say? Vayamo Pinchas vayipalel. Vateatzer magifa, right? He got up and davened, and the magefa ended, but it doesn't say davened. It doesn't say the usual word vayitpalel, right? Rama Rabbi Elazar vayitpalel lo ne'amar ela vayipalel. What's vayipalel? Melamed chasa plilot im kono. Okay, what did he do? He had judgment with God. He got into a whole discussion about the judgment with God. Plilah comes from right. The Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch says vayitpalel is reflexive. It's self judgment. Right, there's two approaches to tefillah. Is it for God, right? Is it for us? So Shimshon Rafael Hirsch says it's the reflexive form of the verb judgment. It's self-judgment. Okay, so Bava Chavtam Lefnei HaMakom. Amar Lefanav, right, what did he do? He took the dead bodies of Zimri and Cosby, threw them in front of God, and said, Ribono Shalom, Al Elu Yiplu Asrim Va'arba'a Elef Mi'Yisrael. Right, you think about the comparison, 36 to 24,000. He says, for this you're going to kill 24,000 people? Dechtiva Yom Eitiba Magefa Asrim Arba'a Ve'Asrim Aleph. So therefore, if you're going to say it was Yoshua and that he was wrong for saying this, well, Pinchas said the same thing. So you should have said about Pinchas also. So that can't be it. Ve'la mehacha, what does he say? In the middle of the section of Acham, when he's all upset about the 36 people dying, he says, before he understands what had happened, he says, Lama he'evarta evirta amazet ha'yardin. Right? Why did you cross us over the Yardin? And the continuation is, to kill us in the hands of the Amorim. In the Amorim. So Moshe, if you want to say it's that, Moshe Nami Meimar, Moshe also spoke like that to God. Where? Amar, if you remember in the beginning of Shemot, what happens? Hashem sends Moshe, he and Aaron go to Paro, and then Paro makes it worse for the Jewish people, right? Mm-hmm. He takes away, he says, you know, do it without the Tevin and the Kash. So he said to God there, Lama Hariyota, Lama Zeh. Okay? So then what do they say? It's the last part of that pasuk that Yoshua said. He didn't just say, Lama havarta havir et ha'amazeh, but he says, V'luho alnu v'neshev be'ever ha'yardin. You should have just left us on the other side of the Yardin. Okay, it would have been better for us. So that went too far. Vayomer Hashem Yoshua, kum lach. Okay, he says, get up. So this is after Yoshua says, right, he falls on his face and he says, why did you do this to us? Hashem says, get up. So Darish Rabbi Shila Amar le'akadosh baruch hu, Shachak Hashem Mishalahem. What you did is worse than what they did. Ani amarti vayabar v'chem et ha'yardein takimu. V'atem richachtem shishim mil. If you remember, there was this whole thing. Yeshua was supposed to put up stones by Har Eval. And there's a whole discussion where Har Eval, right, if it's in the Shomron where we know it is, by Har Eval and Har Gerizim, by Shechem, so he wasn't supposed to have done it yet. But some people say that there's a tradition that maybe either there was a different place called Har Eval where he was supposed to do it that was right near where he was, and he didn't do it yet. And some people say that he was supposed to actually make like his own two mounds and call them Har Gerizim and Har Eval and put up these stones there. But there's obviously some sort of Masorah that he should have done it before. So it says here, so you should have done that and you didn't do it. Batar dinafik okim rav emor. Okay, so this is what Rav Shila darshins in the Beit Midrash. He says, what did Yoshua do wrong? Right? Why did he say kum lecha? Okay, or kum lach, he said, because you did something wrong also, and the assumption of Rabbi Shila was that you didn't put up those stones. So, batar denafik, after Rabbi Shila goes out, this is interesting in terms of he didn't want to embarrass him, okim rav emora ale, rav signs an emora. What was an emora? An emora was people who learned in the time of the Gemara, but they were translators also. They would be like the microphone. He would speak, and the emora would say it loudly to everybody else. V'darash kashir tziva Hashem et Moshe avdo, kein tziva Moshe et Yoshua. It says later on in Yoshua that he did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe. Okay, that's what Moshe commanded Yoshua. V'chein asa Yoshua. Lo isir davar michol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe. So how can you possibly say he didn't put up the stones when he was supposed to? Im kem matamu lomar kum lach. So what was the criticism here? Amar lo, here's a great line. Ata garamta lahem. V'hainu deka amar le. What happened here? He says, it's your fault they sinned. Why? Hashem never said that they couldn't take from the shalal of Yericho. And Yoshua added that. Okay? And because Yoshua added, it's a little bit like the, it's different, but it's a little bit like Chava, where he said, don't touch, and not just don't eat. If you add, right, but here it's more. This is more, he added chumrot to the people. This is a great, right, a leader who made something difficult for the people, something that they couldn't stand up to, right? He said, I saw this beautiful thing and I couldn't, leaders should be very cautious not to make it too difficult for the people so that they're going to end up sinning. And that's what he says to Yeshua. It's like a really harsh criticism. It's your fault that this all happened. Okay, Vayhi b'yot Yoshua b'Yericho. Now we get to the famous story of Yoshua where he's in Yericho, right? So this is before the eye. And he sees Vayisaina Vayar. Okay, I'll read you the whole pasuk. V'inei ish omed l'negdo v'charbosh lufa b'yado. He sees this image of a person with a cherev in his hand. Vayelech Yoshua ila vayomer lo halanu ata im litzarenu. Right? Are you for or against us? Vayomer lo ki ani sar tzva Hashem. I'm a messenger of God. An officer of God, ata bati, vayipol Yoshua panav arta vishachalo, vayomer madroni medaber alavdo, right? And he goes on. So we'll darshan this now. So what happens? Hechi yavid hachi, how could Yoshua have spoken to him and gotten into conversation and bowed down to him? V'hamar b'yochanan astrolo l'adam shiten shalom l'chavero b'layla. You're not allowed to speak shalom to anybody at nighttime. Why? Chayshin an shem ashedhu. We're worried it might be a demon. So what do they answer? Shanehatem teka amarle anisar tzvar Hashem atabati. He said, I'm a messenger of God. So now they say, v'doma m'shakre. Right? Maybe he's lying. Gemire, there's a masoret that a shed, okay, would never do this. So lomach kishem shamayim levatala. Okay, even though he's a shed and he's a demon and he's evil, he'll never use the name of God. And because he says, anisar Hashem tzvaot, couldn't have been a shed. Amarle, now what does he come? Why is he coming? You know, this, yes, he says, I'm with you, but he's obviously coming to criticize them. What was his critique? Amarle, this obviously isn't in the text. Emish bitaltem tamid shaben ha'arbaim, v'achshav bitaltem tamud Torah. Yesterday, you were busy fighting the war, and you didn't do the tamid shaben ha'arbaim. And now that it's nighttime and you're done with your war, what should you have done? You should have learned Torah. So he says, you didn't do the tamid and you didn't learn Torah. So Yoshua very smartly says, Vala ezeh mehem bata, but really, which is the one you came for? Because, you know, when you give lots of reasons, usually there's one that's, you know, sometimes when you give lots of reasons, neither of them is so bad anyway. So amar le ata bati, I came now. Because, obviously, it's the learning that you're mevatel now that was more important. Miyav vayalin Yoshua balayla hu betoch ha'emek. Okay, Yoshua goes to sleep that night in the emek. Okay, that he slept in the depths of halacha. Maybe he fell asleep while learning or something, I don't know. But he was, you know, engrossed in Talmud Torah. And Amar Shmuel bar Onya Mishmei Derav, Gadol Talmud Torah Yoter Mehakravat Tamidin. What do you learn from this? Talmud Torah is more important than sacrificing korbanot. Shenemar atabati. Because now this is where they darshan it, right? Atabati is the lashon of the pasuk. Now I came. I came now because of the Talmud Torah. What is the meaning of this verse? Why does he say this? It has nothing to do with reality. It's that they're living now post sacrifices, and he wants to stress the importance of Talmud Torah. So how do they do that? They darshan it from the pasuk. How important Talmud Torah? That it's more important than hakavat korbanot, and it also might give people a feeling of security that even though we don't have korbanot, we still have a way to worship God, and this is our way to worship God. It's interesting because you know normally we say it's tefillah as we call korbanot, but here they're showing that Talmud Torah takes the place of korbanot. Amar lei Abayir le Rav Dimi. Hi Krab Amar Rava b'mai mukmitule. How do they translate this in Eretz Israel? Al tetzei this pasuk. Al tetzei lariv maher pe mata ase ba'achrita ba'achlim otcha re'echa rivcha riv et re'echa v'sod acher al tagel. So how do they translate this? B'sha'ah shamar lo kadosh baruch hu liyecheskel lech emor lahem liyisrael avicha hemori v'imecha chitit. Okay, so when Hashem said to Yechezkel, go tell the Jewish people, your father's an Emori and your mother's from the Chitim, basically like a mocker, you know, kind of mocking them a little bit or making them feel like they're from nowhere. Amra ruach piskonit lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a malach, okay? I think they say it's a malach Gavriel. Ribono shel olam, im yavo Avraham v'saravi, amdu lefanecha, ata omer lehem, umachlim otam riv rivcha, would you speak to them like this? So then they say, how could the malach, again, we're having someone who has the audacity to stand up before God. Does he really have reshut to say such a thing? Say, in, yes, he does. He had three names, Piskun, Itmun, Sigron. Those were three names, right? It's the malach Gabriel, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, the malach Gabriel had three different names. Piskon, sheposek dvarim klapei mala. He's allowed to, you know, say things very definitively against Hashem. Itmun, sheotem avonotehem shel Yisrael. He seals them up. Right? What's the word they use to translate otem? He
shuts out.
Shuts out. Well, Sigron shesoger shuveino potach. If he closes a diyu, you know, an issue against the people, it will never be opened again. Hayaroch shuach lo betzar. Amar Rabbi, right? I just want to see how they translate this pasuk. I got the exact translation. One second. Ayaroch shuach lo b'tzar. Right, had you prepare your prayers before your trouble came? It's from Iov. Amar Rabbi Elazar le'olam yakdim adam tefila l'tzara. Okay, you should always have a tefila before a tzara. Shomale lo yakdim Abraham tefila l'tzara ben beit elu ben ha'ay lo nesher misonehem shel Yisrael tzaridu palit. Okay, there would be nobody left if Abraham hadn't made this tefila to Hashem ben beit el. Right, he puts up a mizbeach there. Rish Lakish omer, amar kol ma'amitz atzmo b'tfila milamata, ein lo tzarim milamala. Okay, anyone who does their tfila, takes their tfila very seriously. Again, we're back to Elul themes, right? If you take your tfila very seriously, then no one will get to you from above. Rabbi Yochanan amar lo olam yivakesh adam rachamim, shehe hakol ma'amtzin et kocho va'al yu lo tzarim milamala. Okay, you should always ask for rachamim, that you should have that. The people above, right, the malachim, should strengthen you, and you shouldn't have any trouble up above. Okay, so, right, how'd you prepare your prayers before your trouble come, right? The idea is that there's different kind of prayers here. There's prayers either to God or maybe even the malachim. This, by the way, connects again to slichot, where we have all these tefillot to the malachim, and some people think that we should get rid of them, we shouldn't say them. There's all these debates about whether we should be talking to Malachim or not talking to Malachim. So these seem to go along the lines of, you know, communicating with Malachim. Okay, we'll stop here for today.
Thank you.